Chapter 3. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness, and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. And I will bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? He said, But I will be with you, and this shall be a sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, What is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from 2 Peter, chapter 1. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. And we have something more sure, the prophetic word, to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a light shining in a dark place, until the day dawns, and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Father and the Son together is worshipped there. mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Having heard St. Matthew's account of the Transfiguration, my text is from St. Luke's account, 9th chapter, 30 and 31st verses. And behold, two men talked with him, Moses and Elijah, and appeared in glory and spoke of his departure, which he was to accomplish at Jerusalem. When this Sunday on which we commemorate the glorious transfiguration of our Savior comes round each year, my thoughts inevitably turn to the painting of Christ's transfiguration, which adorns the altar of Martini Church in South Baltimore, the church in which I was baptized, confirmed, and ordained. Until I went away to Concordia College in Bronxville, New York, I attended divine service at Martini almost every Sunday from the time I was a very little boy. And so I saw this wonderful painting every Sunday. Martini's altarpiece is a copy of the painting of the Transfiguration by that great Renaissance artist, Raphael. It was, in fact, Raphael's last painting. Martini's copy was made in 1905 by a Baltimore portrait artist whose name escapes me right now. So why am I talking about this particular painting of the Transfiguration? I'm talking about it because though I had in fact seen it countless times, I'd never really grasped the full meaning of the figure of the transfigured Lord as Raphael shows him. But several years ago, I came across an article about Raphael's great work, which pointed out that the body of the transfigured Jesus is in a position which suggests the body of one who is crucified, his hands extended as they were on the cross. What this points to is what we hear in St. Luke's account of the Transfiguration, which says, "And behold, two men talked with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure, which he was to accomplish at Jerusalem." Even in the unearthly splendor of the Transfiguration, the shadow of the cross is seen. Because that is so, in a very real sense, we can see in Jesus' transfiguration his whole saving work for our salvation. We see the unearthly glory which was his with the Father from all eternity before the world was made. We see him as the eternal Word made flesh, full of grace and truth. "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." We see him as the fulfillment of Israel's hope, revealed by the presence with him of Moses and Elijah, who appeared with him and talked with him about his coming death at Jerusalem. We also catch a glimpse of the glory of Jesus' resurrection and ascension, and of his glorious coming again, when all who have here believed and trusted in him will come to see his glory, just as the Savior prayed for us all on the night before he suffered. Father, I desire that they also whom thou hast given me may be with me where I am, to behold my glory, which thou hast given me in thy love for me before the foundation of the world. Yes, in Jesus' transfiguration, we catch a glimpse of his whole saving work for our salvation. St. Matthew begins his account of the transfiguration by telling us that it was after 6 days that Jesus took Peter and James and John with him to a high mountain and was there transfigured before them. After 6 days. That applies also to me and to you and all the Christian people. For it is after 6 days that we come apart and gather for the divine service, which is in a real sense our mountain of transfiguration. For in the divine service, we hear the witness of God's Old Testament prophets and the witness of the apostles as the scriptures are read. And the Lord, who appeared in transfigured splendor, speaks to us through his word. And then he truly comes to us in the holy sacrament of his body and blood. In Holy Communion, we worship with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, with Moses and Elijah, with Peter and James and John. But the disciples weren't able to stay on the mountain of transfiguration, but came down as Jesus then turned his face to go to Jerusalem, where the cross awaited him. We too leave our mountain of transfiguration, the divine service, strengthened and encouraged for our journey, come what may. And then, after another 6 days, we return again to be strengthened and to rejoice in the real presence of our Savior. With today's remembrance of Jesus' transfiguration, we have come to the end of the Christmas cycle of the Christian year, consisting of Advent, Christmas, and Epiphany. In Advent, we prepared for Christmas, and the Epiphany season which follows Christmas is in a real sense the afterglow of the joyful Christmas festival. Next Sunday, the Easter cycle of the Christian year begins with the first Sunday of the pre-Lenten season, the Sunday called Septuagesima, a big word because it's 70 days before Easter Day. We begin the journey then to Calvary and the open tomb. From ancient times, it's been customary to omit the Alleluia until Easter, because Alleluia is the church's shout of Easter joy. So today is the last day we'll sing the Alleluia until Easter comes. And the final hymn this morning, written for this day, is what you might call a farewell to Alleluia. There are now some 24 days until Lent begins, and it's not a moment too soon to think about how we are going to keep that holy season in preparation for Easter. Our Lord's words at the end of today's Gospel point us in that direction. Tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man be risen from the dead. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. In our prayers this morning, we remember Philip Verweyens, who is hospitalized. We also remember Sean Fortune, who is ill. We also remember Yolanda Ford, who is hospitalized. We continue to pray for full recovery for Gabe Verweyens and for all whose names are included in the service folder. Let us stand and pray for the church and for the world. O Lord our God, you caused the light to shine out of darkness and have shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of your glory in the face of Jesus Christ. Accept now in your endless mercy this our sacrifice of thanksgiving and praise, and mercifully hear our requests. Lord, in your mercy. Remember your whole church throughout the world, gathered out of all nations and peoples and languages. Remember all those who stand before your holy altar and proclaim your holy word, that through their ministry all those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death may behold your glory in the face of Christ. Lord, in your mercy. Remember this, our nation, and all the nations of the earth. Remember our president, our governor, our mayor, and all who are in authority, that they may administer their offices in your fear and to the well-being of all the people. Lord, in your mercy. Remember all children, especially the children of the church and those who live in poverty and distress. Raise up helpers for them and grant that they may be brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Lord, in your mercy. Remember the sick, especially all those for whom our prayers are desired. Philip, Gabriel, Sean, Yolanda. Remember the dying, especially those for whom our prayers are desired. Visit them in mercy, grant them abiding comfort and your peace which passes understanding. Lord, in your mercy. We also remember before you all those who have fallen asleep in the true faith of your holy name, and who now rest in your presence, where the light of your countenance shines upon them. Make us to live as children of the light and of the day, that we may at length rest with them in your nearer presence. Lord, in your mercy. Grant these our prayers, O Father, for the sake of him who is both the child of Mary and your only Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Amen. Let us sing hymn 413. Hymn 413.